You're listening to Monday Night's Arena. Who better than Bill Bryson to take on a subject as ambitious as the body for his new book? This, after all, is the man who explained the UK to us in Notes from a Small Island and who demystified all things scientific in A Short History of Nearly Everything. Rick O'Shea has been reading the new book, The Body, A Guide for Occupants by Bill Bryson. And Rick is with me in studio now, I guess. This is a book for everyone, ho-ho.
It really is, and not just because, obviously, as he sets out at the very beginning, this is about all of us. It's about the combination bag of meat and most complicated machine humanity has ever seen that we all occupy for the entire story of our lives. But, you know, this book is written that way, Sean. It is a book that is very much not shy of hard science where it needs to have it,
yeah.
But it's also a book that is very much aimed smack bang down the middle at a mainstream audience.
Yeah. Bryson, I suppose, A Short History of Nearly Everything is the book that most people will associate with him, and it does what I said there in the introduction. He takes what could be incredibly complex, and he does this in this book as well, the biology of the body, you know, some of the microbial aspects of the body, and you hear that and you think, oh, I'm gone, I don't want to read that. But he has a style that somehow makes it really accessible without dumbing it down.
I think there's a combination of a few things going on, because I came out of the book at the end thinking the same thing as you did. I think it is partially because he mixes up a number of things in each of the sections. So it's not just about the hard science, which it is, and there's plenty of hard science in this. He throws in the occasional odd factoid. He throws you in pieces of information, like the one I know that's been quoted in all the reviews about, you know, the amount of chemicals it would take to make your own Benedict Cumberbatch and how much that would cost.
Well, I wrote that down because I knew 3 seconds later I'd forgotten the amount. You were great because you said it's just short of £100,000.
Yeah.
It actually is £96,546.79.
Yeah.
That's how you make. That's the ingredients for a Benedict Cumberbatch.
I'm sure there's a lot more magic involved.
Well, there's labour involved as well.
But there'd be the labour costs.
Money back. One film later, you'd have all the money back.
And there's that thing of, and I know I've mentioned this before when I've been talking about this book, there are as well sections in this book that are absolutely brilliant. There's the section on epilepsy, for instance, which is something that I've had since I was a teenager and something that I've spent years now trying to communicate to people. There is a paragraph and a half, two paragraphs on this in epilepsy, in which he manages to distill everything that I try to do whenever people talk to me about this, and he nails it stone cold dead, and it's fantastic, and he doesn't take any more than two paragraphs to do it.
So how does he do that precisely? You know, is it that he gives you the science but in a way that you can, that's palatable? What exactly is it? Because it's a real winning formula.
It is. It's because I think always in his head, as far as I can tell in this book, he is thinking of a mainstream audience. He is thinking of, and whoever it is, you know, you and I all think of whoever it is we're trying to talk to when we're talking on the radio. Bill Bryson has the mainstream reader somewhere in his head where he's going, okay, that's slightly too complicated. I'm going to take that, alter it, turn it into something that maybe will be slightly more palatable. I'll give you a bit more information because you are going to need that and you are going to want it. But he always has that person in the centre of his head. I mean, part of this is about distillation as well in this book. The book's 460 odd pages long. There's a section in it that deals with cancer. Which is about a paragraph long, roughly. There are entire volumes that have been written on the nature of the subject that he's talking about there. There are entire books written on, I read Matthew Walker's brilliant Why We Sleep recently. There's a small section that deals with sleep in here as well. But again, he's dealing with maybe 3-4 paragraphs in terms of, as opposed to something that other authors have taken, you know, possibly entire lifetimes of work to deal with.
Yeah, you talk about the sections. There are 23 chapters in total. Some of them about parts of the body. Some of them about aspects, as you say. You know, for example, the heart and blood. Obviously parts of the body, but aspects in there are nerves and pain, which I guess is a kind of a broader category. But 20 chapters there about. None of the chapters longer than maybe 10, 11 pages. And the chapters themselves then broken up into 2 or 3 sections. So is it a dip book or is it a sit down and read it all book?
Well, I sat down and read it all, but I'm not necessarily the same as everybody else. I think it could very easily be a dip book, and one of those ones you keep by the bedside where you pop in every now and then and you go, although to be fair, you probably don't necessarily want to read you know, the section to do with, you know, human diseases before you fall asleep at night. Maybe there's the fascinating information in it, I think, is the thing that I really annoyed my wife when I was reading this book, because what would happen was she'd be sitting next to me reading something else and I would come across, God, do you know why bipedalism made us who we are and why it gives us so much back pain? And she would look, give me the threatening look that says, I'm going to give you back pain, but go on, okay, you may as well tell me. It strained my marriage reading this book. Mm-hmm. And I think by the time we got to the end of it, I think she was perfectly happy to see me out of it. I mean, the section on the human brain alone is brilliant. There's a part where, and I'd read it in other books before, he talks about 9/11 and about, there's a long documented phenomenon about people remembering 9/11 differently than it actually happened. So because it's such a major cultural phenomenon and because it has been ingrained in our brains in documentary and in story since then, he talks about how he vividly remembers the events of 9/11, about how he had had one of his kids was there in the room with him, one of his sons. And it's only years later in the process of writing this book that he was talking to his son about this. And his son said to him, Dad, I was on the other side of the Atlantic that day. We were never together. And that leads into a whole section on the pliability of memory and how, as he said himself, the memory is a bit like Wikipedia. It can be overwritten not only by you, but by other people as well. I was spending the whole day going, that's interesting. I'm taking notes on this. It's one of those books that will alter the way you think about certain things.
So the memory is also not very reliable.
Not reliable at all, Sean. It's not
I'm
just
not
very
sure
reliable.
Whether that makes it like Wikipedia or not, but it isn't reliable.
There's a little of that too, yeah.
But given that you're talking about that whole aspect of memory, when you did get to the end of the book, did you remember any of it? I mean, you say you remember the thing roughly that the Benedict Cumberbatch, you know, under 100,000 type of thing. The other thing I came away with that I didn't have to write down is 7 billion, billion, billion is 7 octillion. And that's the number of cells in the body, give or take a few, I guess. So, but I'm not sure that in, you know, three days, 3 weeks' time, that the facts will sit with me rather than just a kind of an overall feel. And is that important?
No, I don't think it's really important. I mean, the section on the human gut, I'm not sure there's a huge amount of it I remember. There are bits of it I remember, but the friction coefficient of cartilage in comparison to ice, there's those kind of things. There's a great story in it about Isambard Kingdom Brunel and about how he managed to get a coin lodged in his throat while doing a trick for his own children, and about how it took weeks for him to dislodge it, and it became one of the great scandals of the time, and there were many other scientists brought in to try and figure out how, because the great man obviously couldn't be allowed to choke on this coin. I think this book is a gateway. I think this book will be a gateway to people that you will read a section of this book and go, that's fascinating. I'd like to read a little bit more about this. And, you know, if it's the section on the human brain and neurology, you'll go off and read some Oliver Sacks. Or if it's the section that deals maybe specifically with diseases and cancer, you will go off and seek out those other things and maybe leave the rest of it behind if it's not necessarily for you.
Yeah, I looked at the pictures in the middle of the book as well, and one of the things that it deals with is various experiments. Now, these were experiments that people underwent, usually voluntarily. Does it get into any of the ethics of those experiments? Because I know it certainly deals with medical trials, doesn't it?
It gets into the lack of ethics in a lot of this, Sean. Yeah, there are many moments in this book in many different sections where Bill Bryson talks about experiments that have happened throughout the course of medical history, some of them very, very, very close to where we are right now in terms of time, where either they were experiments that were being done to try and prove one thing, in which something else came from that and it altered the course of medical history. But quite frequently, there's an awful lot of very dark stuff done to an awful lot of very normal people who may not necessarily realise what they were signing up for at the time. But regardless of whether we like it or not, it altered the course of medical history.
Yeah, it also has a picture of the identical twins who were one of them was the subject of the first kidney transplant and the other was the donor of the first kidney for a successful kidney transplant at any rate. I suppose those type of details, there's something, I don't know, there's kind of a quirky type of interest in them, isn't there?
There is, and there's also an interest in, he disproves quite a few things as well, which I liked. I've always loved the one about, you know, people only using 10% of their brains, which apparently is complete nonsense, and he goes into the process of disproving that. The one about men thinking about sex every second, 7 seconds, which is complete nonsense, about once an hour apparently, roughly, if you look at the actual stuff. So I get the feeling this is the sort of book that for someone in your life in the run up to Christmas, you know, you've got a dad, you've got maybe a granddad, somebody who's very awkward to pick for. They do like a bit of the old nonfiction. Mm. They wouldn't mind reading something like this. It's not going to tax them overly if it doesn't want to. If they want to skip the section on the heart, maybe they can. But they'll find something fascinating in this and you'll find them in a corner reading it somewhere on Stevens's Day.
Well, given also, Rick, that, you know, you've said that this is more or less aimed at a general audience, but you would be pretty expert, I think it would be fair in saying, in the field of epilepsy. Does it patronise you if you know lots about a subject? that particular subject. You didn't feel patronised there, did you?
No, not even slightly. And I think maybe with epilepsy it's slightly different, because obviously there's so little awareness with a vast majority of people that any time you see it being represented in a book like this, and particularly with him managing to encapsulate what it is that epilepsy is in the space of a couple of paragraphs, I think that's quite extraordinary. And I'm sure for other people who have other conditions, there's a lot of that going on in here as well. No, I don't think that at all. But again, he doesn't set this out to be a very, very hard science book. It is not a stupid book by any stretch of the imagination. It does not, it's not a book that is not authoritative when it needs to be. But at the same time, I think he manages to do what he attempts to do and deals with the entire human body in 464 pages, which is an achievement.
So this is a recommendation from you?
I think so, hugely.
Now, we've all known for a long time, Rick, that you read a lot of books. That's going to come to another aspect of fruition in the coming weeks and months. You are the new presenter for The Book Show here on RT Radio 1.
I am genuinely privileged and honoured to be. Yeah, that's a strange one. That's a phrase I never thought I'd hear coming out of somebody's mouth on RT Radio 1. Yeah, we start a brand new incarnation of The Book Show here on RT Radio 1 on the 8th of December.
You've probably started reading towards that already.
Already, well in through the process, and we've already recorded a few pieces that are going to be going out, and at the first interviews being
anything
done
exciting
this week.
That you can tell me about in that first
there are many
program.
Exciting things happening, and I can't tell you about any of them as of yet, Sean, because my producer would slap me across the wrist. We'll definitely be letting people know on the Book Show social feeds over the next couple of weeks. There's an Instagram and a Twitter that as soon as we can we'll start putting things out. We'll have a live show we're going to record for Christmas Day here as well, which is going out at 5 o'clock on Christmas Day on Radio 1, and we'll be looking for an audience for that too, even just in the run up to this. If anybody's in a book club somewhere that's been long standing in the country and you've always fancied the idea of your book club being featured in some way on the wireless, this is the time to do it. You can drop us an email to bookshow@rte.ie. Tell us a bit about your book club, how many of you there are, how long the book club has been together, what you're reading at the moment. Give us a load of information, because there will be a small section of the show every week where we'll be talking to book clubs and giving them a chance to talk to the authors of the books they're reading at the moment.
And I guess it will be all types of books, fiction, non-fiction, literary,
everything
crime,
under the sun. That's it.
All right, Rick O'Shea speaking to us there about The Book Show. But before that, he told us about The Body, A Guide for Occupants, written by Bill Bryson. It's published by Doubleday.